And good evening to all of you. Welcome again to Worship of God. It's a privilege to worship morning and evening together and to close out not only our Lord's Day, but close out our year in the presence of God and with His people. So if you would turn now, once again, to the Gospel of Matthew. We are in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We're in the Gospel of Matthew this evening, chapter 13. So moving backward, but taking a look at the interpretation of the parable of the sower. So Matthew 13, we'll read verses 18 through 23. And even though it's not printed in your evening bulletin, sermon insert, we do continue our sermon series through the Westminster Confession of Faith, and we're on chapter 21, section 5. So as we examine that portion, it's in light of Matthew 13. So let's give attention to God's holy word. Matthew 13, verse 18. Jesus speaking. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Since the reading of God's word, let's pray together as we ask the Lord's blessing. Father, your word is truth, and we are thankful that we sit attending to your truth. Lord, would you make us attentive? And would you cause your truth to be written on our hearts, deeply sown, that it would produce greater obedience and greater faith? And Lord, may we be people who avail ourselves of this blessed privilege to sit under the reading and preaching of your word week in and week out. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, section 5, reads this way. Listen as we cover our topic for this evening. The reading of scriptures with godly fear, the sound preaching, and conscionable hearing of the word in obedience unto God with understanding, faith, and reverence, singing of psalms with grace in the heart, as also the due administration and worthy receiving of the sacraments instituted by Christ, are all parts of the ordinary religious worship of God. Besides religious oaths, vows, solemn fastings, and thanksgivings upon special occasions, which are, in their several times and seasons, to be used in an holy and religious manner. So that section is dealing with the elements of worship. These are the elements that we ordinarily, regularly have included in the worship service. And these are the ones that are commanded by God. And as we spend this evening talking about these things, we could have spent the next 5 weeks unpacking multiple different elements. We could have covered the reading of the scriptures and then the preaching of the scriptures. We could have covered the singing of psalms, and we could have covered the administration of the sacraments. But tonight we're covering the one that we don't often think of as an element of worship, and that is the listening, conscionable hearing of the word. Do you think of the hearing of the word of God as an element of worship? We often emphasize the person who stands up and reads and the person who stands up and preaches, but do we realize the vital importance of hearing and hearing well? That's what we will be covering this evening, and we will be following these aspects of hearing as listed in the confession, that we will hear with obedience, understanding, faith, and reverence. And interestingly enough, that follows well the four soils that we see in Matthew chapter 13. So the point before us this evening from Matthew 13 is that you are to listen to the reading and preaching of the Word of God in such a way to ensure understanding, faith, reverence, and obedience. So four key things. We must listen with understanding, faith, reverence, and obedience. And the outline of our sermon will follow those four points. Well, first, listen in such a way to ensure understanding. We see the soils here mentioned. If you want to glance back over at the beginning of Matthew 13, we see the parable stated by Jesus, and Jesus is saying, the sower went out to sow in verse 3, verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And Jesus interprets that portion of the parable in verse 19, that it's somebody who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. And therefore, it's possible to sit under the reading and the preaching and listen in an undisciplined manner, week in and week out, and not allow the word to penetrate your heart, and not allow the word to stir your mind, and not to hear it with understanding. But as we read the interpretation of this portion of the parable and see that these birds that come and snatch away this seed sown in the heart, it's actually the wicked one who comes and snatches it away. And we might interpret it then that those who don't understand the word, it's not really their fault. Somebody else snatched it away. But notice how far those who receive this word go. They hear the word. They are sitting under the reading and the preaching of the word. And Jesus is speaking to an audience who would be familiar with the weekly Sabbath ritual of going to synagogue and sitting under the reading and explanation of Moses, of the Old Testament. And so this isn't just somebody hearing the word in the marketplace, casually spoken by somebody. This is somebody who is sitting under the reading and the preaching of the word, and they are not receiving it with understanding. They come. And they don't seek the truth. They're not desirous of the truth. They don't come expecting that they will understand the word. And they come expecting that they will go out unchanged, the same people as when they came in the door. And so they listen, but they don't hear. And therefore, they're like the people spoken of throughout God's word, like God's people spoken of throughout God's word, who are ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they would turn and be forgiven. The adage that we have in our day and age is in one ear and out the other. And we often think of that with regard to children. Talking to children and parents are trying to communicate something and they're nodding their heads and yes, yes, mom, okay, yes, right? And you know they're not hearing. You know they're not grasping what you're communicating and you're thinking, oh boy, it's going to be difficult later. They're not going to obey. But this brings to my mind talking to somebody who's falling asleep. Have you ever done this? Had a conversation with somebody who's starting to nod off? And they might even respond to you, and you carry on a conversation, and they don't remember any of it later. Unfortunately, Melissa does this to me all the time. I'm falling asleep, and she carries on a conversation at night, and she asks me the next day, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm sorry. Well, unfortunately, there are some who sit under the preaching of the word every week, and they are spiritually dozing and nodding off, and they are not listening, and they hear my words, but they don't come seeking, and they don't come understanding. Jesus pulls back the veil of this world to show us the spiritual realities of what's taking place. It's the evil one who takes advantage of such a situation. Someone who allows the seed to just set on the top of the soil and the evil one comes and snatches it away and ensures that it doesn't stick, ensures that it doesn't implant in the heart, ensures that it produces no change. The people are responsible. And yet Satan is involved in this not understanding, not perceiving, not grasping the word of the kingdom. And Matthew Henry, on this point, aptly describes Satan as the great thief of sermons. Isn't that wonderful imagery? He's the enemy of the preached word, and he wants the word to have no effect. And how many solid sermons find no purchase in our hearts for our lack of care with it? The analogy of farming here that Jesus uses is very fitting. Do we carelessly let the word sit on the soil after we hear it, allowing the birds to snatch it away? Do we think about how precious the seed is to a farmer? How important is it that that seed produce fruit to the farmer? It's his very livelihood. He must have that seed produce fruit. And the Word of God says that the Scriptures themselves are not an idle word. They are our very life. And so do we till up the soil of our hearts through diligent preparation and prayer before the Lord's Day? Are we tilling the soil of our heart and reading throughout the Scriptures through the week to ensure making connections that the Spirit has made so that when we hear the public reading and preaching, we are hearing it with understanding and how it fits together in its place in Holy Scripture? And are we also breaking up the soil of our hearts by humbly receiving and coming to the Word? And then are we folding over that soil after the seed has been sown through reflection and conversation with one another, leaving this place talking about the Word that has been sown? Or do we just say, oh, that was good, that was okay, and just go here and go from here and forget about it and not have that holy conversation with our families afterward? And do we reflect upon what Christ is communicating to us with prayer? Do we seek true, lasting understanding, or are we easy prey for the devil, letting the word sit out and be easily snatched away so that we hear but we don't fully understand in the way that Christ intends his word to be sown in our lives? Are we listening with understanding? Well, secondly, listen to ensure faith, to ensure rooting of that seed. The second soil goes further than the first soil. Notice Jesus speaks of this soil in verse 5. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And Jesus' interpretation is that in verse 20, the stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. This soil goes further than the first soil. They receive it with joy. There's an actual liking of the word, appreciation of the word, and understanding some of the benefits of the word. And the word makes sense to this person. And the language that Jesus uses here in verse 20 is that the person is quick to hear. That's much better than the first soil. But what lasting benefit does it have? Do the hearers in this second category make it to glory? No, they don't. And you see, we may find ourselves hearing the word in a way that is superior to our neighbors around us. But what benefit does it have if it doesn't purchase in our hearts by faith and produce fruit? But some understand the profit of the word, and they desire the word, and they delight in it, and there's even some evidence of growth in their life, at least by appearance, because notice that they receive the word with joy, and yet in verse 21, there's no root in themselves, they only endure for a little while. It's not lasting growth. It's not true, enduring, persevering growth. And notice that it says in the rest of verse 21, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So they receive it straight away, but there is no lasting root in them. Have you met people who are like this? They're zealous for the Lord. They talk as though they're on fire for the Lord. They speak of the things that they're reading and how much they're growing, and then they fade away. I've had opportunity to minister the word in the work release program, and I'm thankful for that, thankful for the work release program and the jail ministry. But I found many times people received my ministry with great joy and enthusiasm. But it seemed like it had no purchase in their lives, and they would be released and right back in and released and right back in. There's no lasting depth, it seems, to such a soil. And there are people who are not in the work release program and not in the jail ministry who are just the same, who sound like they have a credible profession of faith. And they are glad for a good sermon, and they're encouraged by a good sermon, and they're challenged by a sermon, and they're thankful for it, but there's no change. There's no rooting. It does not produce faith or greater faith, and there's no perseverance in such one. There may be that profession of faith, but notice how Jesus says, yet he has no root in himself. They're not converted. They're not rooted to the vine. They're not grounded in Christ. He is our root. And so what benefit does the preaching of the word ultimately have in their life? Difficulties come and they fade away. So brothers and sisters, are you listening in faith? Are you perseverant in faith under the preaching of the word? Or are you like that fire that burns quickly and burns itself out? Or are you like Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10, that they were waiting with eager expectation for Peter to bring the word? Or like Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 states, that the preaching of the word has no benefit in our lives unless it's united with faith. Do you come believing? Do you listen to the preaching of the word like talking to an ordinary person? How do you communicate when you talk with someone? You're half hearing and you're eager to talk and you're just waiting to get your words in. You're half believing what they're saying, but you're ready to correct and disagree and add your own two cents. But that's how we listen to other people in a dialogue. That's not how we listen to the preaching of God's most holy word. Jeremiah Burroughs, a Westminster Assembly member, preached this very topic to the assembly, and he asked his hearers if they believe they escaped the world, but ironically still show the worst pride in rebelling against the word of God by allowing their hearts to swell against it as it's preached. Does that reveal our true hearts? Do your hearts swell against the word as it's preached? Do you uproot that word as you hear it brought forth in disbelief? Do you reject what you hear? Well, thirdly, we must listen to ensure reverence. And we see that in the third soil. The third soil receives the word as well. And once again, this seed goes further than the previous soil, but it produces no fruit. Notice what it says of such a one in verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And we see the interpretation in verse 22. He who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares of the world are a distraction from these people truly receiving the word and allowing it to produce fruit. And isn't it interesting that the thorns are able to choke out the word of God? This demonstrates that worldliness, the cares of this world and the riches of this world are more deeply rooted than the word of God is ever permitted to penetrate this person's heart. The love of the world is more deeply ingrained in their being than they would ever allow the Word of God to find purchase. And there is a reason why in Genesis chapter 4, the sons of Cain prioritize worldly pursuits with great success, and the sons of Seth prioritize calling upon the Lord. Cain's offspring in Genesis chapter 4 prioritize art and culture and music and architecture and politics and craftsmanship, and none of that stuff is wrong in and of itself. Now, they go to great lengths to be sinful in all of those things, but those things in and of themselves aren't bad, but they're prioritizing that to the exclusion of the Word of God. And the sons of Seth, they prioritize God himself. Reminds me of a story that Jerry Bridges speaks of in his book On the Pursuit of Holiness, that he knew a woman that prior to her conversion played an inordinate amount of tennis. And after her conversion, she realized she just needed to put tennis away because it was an idol. She was spending too much time with it. It was tempting her away from the Lord. And it wasn't until many, many years later she could go back to playing tennis without it luring her away from the Lord. It's not bad in and of itself, but when we prioritize athletics and academics and music and drama and history and our own personal pursuits above the Word of God, we are ensuring our distraction from the Word of God. Now, does that mean we just sit around all day and listen to preaching? Of course not. But do you ever talk to somebody and you're distracted? And you're looking around, you're not making eye contact with them, you're looking at your watch and you're looking for someone else, or you're waiting for whatever next is coming along, and you're distracted from locking in on the person and listening intently. Do we sit under the reading and preaching of the Word of God in such a way so that we're distracted by the cares of the world and riches and our own personal pursuits? Or do we listen attentively as our chief priority when God calls us to do so, listening and giving it its all due respect and reverence that we owe the very Word of God? Well, then fourthly and finally, we must listen to ensure fruitfulness. We see the final soil, verse 8, the seed falls on good ground, it yields a crop, 100-fold, 60, and some 30. And Jesus' interpretation in verse 23, they receive that on good ground. He hears the word, he understands it, he bears fruit, and some bear different amounts of fruit. This person is listening with understanding, listening with faith, listening without distraction from the world, listening with all reverence and fear. And how do we know that? It doesn't state all of those things explicitly. Well, we know that they're listening in such a way because they bear fruit. To different degrees, of course, but they bear fruit for the kingdom nevertheless. And so it's good soil because the soil demonstrates its fruitfulness. The fruit demonstrates the soil, I should say. Now, it doesn't say that this good soil produces fruit without any difficulty of understanding whatsoever. It doesn't say that the thief doesn't try to snatch away that seed in this soil. It doesn't say that this soil has zero thorns and there's no rockiness among this soil whatsoever. But the point is, this soil doesn't allow those things to get in the way of the reading and preaching of the Word of God and receiving it with all conscionable hearing. They don't let any of that get in the way. And they are doers of the word, and they bring forth fruit. And that is the response to the word that is necessary. To listen obediently, not being hearers only, but doers of the word. Now, what does it mean to be doers of the word? It means to hear it and meditate on it and make changes in our lives as needed. But does that just happen once? We hear a sermon and oh, there's an area that we need to change, and we work on that one time, and then we can just forget that sermon and move on. No. To be doers of the word, we must be habitual in our obedience to the word. Have you ever tried to blaze a trail in the woods, walk a path for the very first time? This is really hard. I've done it quite a number of times. You're getting hung up in all kinds of brambles and all kinds of branches, and you break things down. Now, is it easier the second time you walk that path? Absolutely, but it's still hard. How many times do you have to tread that same path before it's well-worn and easy to walk? That's the same with hearing and doing. We need to be habitual in our obedience to the Word, and we must be content with hearing some of the same things over and over again. It's making that well-worn path of being hearers and doers of the Word. And we need to be like the book of James says when speaking of this same topic. We need to be like men and women who study our faces in the mirror and make sure we're people who remember what we look like. How much time do we spend in front of mirrors? Far more than we'd like to admit, right? Well, there's a reason that the preaching of the Word of God has been referred to as the mirror of God's Word. Puritans would speak of it this way. Yes, we must mirror the Word of God as we preach. Make sure that we're saying what the text says. But the preacher is the one who's holding up this mirror to all we, the people of God, that we might examine ourselves in light of the mirror of God's Word. And so, are we meditating upon what we hear? Are we receiving it? Are we going away different people than when we come? Because God promises that His Word will never return void. It will always accomplish its purpose when it's brought forth. And one of its purposes that it accomplishes is hardening. He will harden whom He will harden. Are we ensuring that we are being softened by the Word and tilled by the Word? Are we listening with all diligence and obedience and understanding and faith and reverence? Are we listening like the good soil calls us to receive and understand by faith? Well, brothers and sisters, as I preach this, I have to admit, I think it's much harder to hear the preaching than to be the one speaking. Now, I also hear as I preach, but it is harder to listen than it is to speak. It's hard to truly listen to somebody when somebody's talking to you and listen with all care and carefulness and make sure you understand them. And make sure you're not just inserting your own opinions. To hear and understand a person is harder than to speak. We much more naturally speak than we do listen. And so we must understand the vital importance of the precious element of worship, of listening to the Word of God. And so are you listening in such a way that produces understanding and faith and reverence and obedience? Let us be such people who hear the Word of God in such a way. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we all like to think that we're the good soil and we're doing just fine. And Lord, even if we are the good soil by your grace, there are still these temptations and threatenings of the evil one snatching away the word sown, of the cares of the world pressing away the word sown, of the trials and tribulations of life pressing it away and uprooting it. Lord, there is still the ability for us to listen poorly and to not listen by faith and with understanding and reverence and obedience. And so, Lord, even we who are the good soil, would we be ever more diligent in our hearing of your word? But Lord, if there are any here tonight that the seed has not penetrated their hearts, would you cause that seed to root deeply? And would you produce faith and fruit to 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold? Father, may we be a people here in Lafayette, may we be a people who are hearers and doers of your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.